However, it sometimes happens there, my boy, that certain of these important power-possessing beings unite and form a special society with the aim of jointly finding and putting into practice some means of abolishing this arch-criminal particularity of theirs. Just as I was leaving that solar system forever, there was again a great deal of talk on your planet about forming such a society, and it seems that they were intending to call it the League of Nations. I say again, because many times before they had formed similar societies, which in the end always died in the same strange way. That is, they always died without any death agony. I remember very well the first time such a society arose there. It was in the city of Samonix, in the country of Tikliamish, which was then regarded as the chief center of culture for all the three-brained beings of this peculiar planet of yours. Then, for the first time, important beings from most of the communities of the continent of Asia assembled in that city with the aim of drawing up a common agreement so that among the different Asiatic communities there would never again arise any cause whatever for the process of reciprocal destruction. This society had as its motto, "God is where man's blood is not shed." But owing to their various personal, egoistic, and vainglorious aims, these important terrestrial power possessors who had assembled soon quarreled among themselves and went their ways without accomplishing anything. Several centuries after the existence of Tikliamish, a similar society arose on the continent of Asia, this time in the country then called Mongol Plansura. And this society had the motto, "Love one another and God will love you." This society, having given no positive results for the same reasons, also ended its existence in the same way. Later, a similar society was formed in the country today called Egypt, and it began its existence with the motto, "Only if you learn to create a flea can you dare to kill a man." Still later, another society was founded in the country of Persia, and the following sentence was taken as its motto. "All men are divine, but if a single one is killed by another, then all will be reduced to nothing." And quite recently, barely 4 or 5 of their centuries ago, the last such society was formed, also on the continent of Asia, in the city that was called, it seemed, Mosulopolis. At its arising, this society was named, "The Earth Belongs to Our Common Creator and is equally free for all His creatures." But shortly afterward, when some dispute broke out among its members, they renamed their society, and later it ended its existence under the new name of "The Earth Belongs Only to Men." The members of the society, "The Earth is Equally Free for All," might perhaps have accomplished something effective because in the first place, they had a feasible program as the basis of their aims. And second, they were all, without exception, old and honorable beings who had had a great deal of experience and in consequence had become disillusioned about everything that ordinary planetary existence could in general give them. And owing to this, they had fewer properties, such as egoism, vanity, and so on, which usually caused societies of this sort to collapse. But the main reason why something useful might have come out of this society was that there was not a single power-possessing being in it, not one of these beings, who, driven by their egoistic and vainglorious aims, sooner or later dispatch, moreover with musical accompaniment, as they say, all the achievements of the common planetary society of which they happen to be members, to the famous swine of our Mullah Nasruddin, which always gobble up everything without what are called parlor manners. The only public affairs that these important terrestrial power-possessing beings, particularly the contemporary ones, do not obstruct are those from which they might expect substantial profit, either for themselves personally or for other beings of their caste. The tasks undertaken by this kind of society might have good results for all the beings of their planet without distinction of caste. But as soon as any difficulties arise in its affairs, or, as he said, the first small crisis appears, these tasks immediately become too boring for the terrestrial power possessors, and at the mere mention of them, or when they remember them by association, expressions of martyrdom appear on their faces. So nothing resulted from the labors of those beings who call their society, "The earth belongs to our common Creator and is equally free for all his creatures," although they did almost everything that could possibly be done in the conditions that usually prevail on that incomparable planet. I shall tell you about this a little later, and even in some detail, because the information concerning the downfall of that very society, formed by your favorites in their attempt to eradicate or at least diminish this arch-criminal property implanted in them, will throw more light on the strangeness of their psyche, and at the same time help you to understand, to a certain extent, the chief objective causes of these terrifying processes of reciprocal destruction among them.